Yeah, welcome to another episode of the RacerX Exhaust Podcast, a special episode. I'm still wearing the ridiculously thick glasses, and my eye's getting better, but still not quite there. 1 week post-eye surgery. That's not what makes this episode special, not at all. No. See, the Exhaust Podcast has been an audio-only podcast primarily, 312 episodes deep now, including the Jorge Prado one that we just posted this week. But the world has changed in the 5 years I've been doing this, to the point where you're probably like, wait, I watch Weed Show. I watch you on TV. You do a podcast? Yeah, we're going to fix that. So I want your thoughts below. We do the Weed Show quite successfully, I might add, on Fridays previewing the race and then Saturday after the race. Thinking of turning the Exhaust Pod, brought to you by our friends at Yoshimura and Insta360, into something more like this, a midweek wrap-up of some of the other things that have transpired since a race has passed, or maybe some things that are upcoming with the race that's on the horizon for the weekend. So tell me what you think of that, and that might be what we do for the rest of the year. Do I still call it Exhaust Podcast? Do I maybe change it to Weed Show Wednesday, midweek Weed Show, something along those lines? You tell me. Today we're going to talk about the double dip. There are two races in Australia this weekend. WSX has their Grand Prix over in Queensland. That's the Gold Coast. And then a long way away, like other side of that continent. Well, not other side, but they say it's more than 1,000 miles away, is the finale of the Australian Supercross Championship. And they run that race in conjunction with their biggest motorsport series, which is Australian Supercars. They build the track, from what I've heard, on the grounds where they hold the race. So these are two big races in Australia at the same time, and the plot thickens there. Now, if you want the full story on this, you can go to the RacerX online website and check out the breaking news story that I wrote today. A lot of the information you can get, we have a link to it, a story by Alex Gobert on Moto Online. That's an Australian media company. They do an excellent job of tracking, because this matters much more to the Australian side than what we see in American racing, to have two races on the same weekend. Is it good? Is it bad? Yeah, they think it's a conflict. We're going to get a little bit into depth in that and how it affects Hayden Deegan. So that suddenly makes this a whole lot more important, right? Yeah, Hayden Deegan is racing one of those races, the WSX one, on a 450. And although he raced in Argentina, and there were some very good riders there, listen to the lineup he'll be racing against this time. Ken Roczen still racing. Eli Tomac will be there. None other than the Monster Energy AMA Supercross champion, Cooper Webb, will be there. And other riders who compete in the full WSX series, like Joey Savacci and Jason Anderson, on it goes. So that is going to be a true test for Deegs. So let's try to give that to you in as brief of a way as we can, although I've already blown that by talking way too much at the beginning. But shout out to our sponsors. Yoshimura has been the title sponsor for all 312, now 313 episodes of this podcast. They continue to innovate, refine, improve their products. So, for example, they have the RS12 exhaust. We mention it all the time. They have it for pretty much any bike, whether it's a full motocross bike, an off-road race bike, even some of those tweener dual sport type bikes like the Honda CRF 300L and Rally that I talked about in the previous episode. But what's really cool about the RS12 is they keep refining it. They keep improving it. So they already had an RS12 for the latest generation of Kawasaki KX450, and there were big power gains. But they're working with Stu Baylor's Rocky Mountain Red Bear Factory Kawasaki off-road team in GNCC and National Enduro. And along the way, with all the testing that Stu did riding the Cowie all year, they eventually stumbled on a new exhaust spec that's even better. 4% gains in a real usable power range, kind of that mid and low transition area where you really need it on a 450. And a lot of that came from Stu developing this exhaust in GNCCs and Enduro. So they already had a good RS12 exhaust. The new one for the Cowie is even better than the old one. They've done this with Honda a couple times as well, improved the exhaust system. Even if the engine stays the same in the bike, you know, if you put in another year or two of R&D and lots of laps and lots of testing, you can find ways to make things better. So go to yoshimura-rd.com and check out that exhaust for your bike. Like I said, they got them for Triumphs even now, and I bet you a Ducati one is coming. Insta360 also on board here for the month of November and December for our show. The X5 camera shooting in 8K 30 frames per second. 8K 30 frames per second is a giant sensor, and it shoots 360. So that means you don't have to be good at aiming the camera if you want to run it on your helmet, like here or here, the chest, the chin, the top of the helmet, or you want to put it on the bars of your bike. They have mounts for that. And then you don't really have to nail the shot originally. You could just go to the app and use the fact that the field of view is so big to then dial it in on the app and get perfect aiming. People like me need things like that, and so do you. And we have a special offer for you. Right now, if you go to shop.insta360.com, enter the word RacerX, all capital letters, no spaces, and we'll give you a free $50 mic air, but only for the first 30 people that go for it. It's already a phenomenal deal. Why not get a freebie piece? Go there now, Insta360. That's store.insta360.com. Now let's get into the double dip in Australia. Yeah, two races in the same weekend. So the finale for the Australian Supercross Championship is taking place as part of the V8 Supercars finale. That would be like, say, having the Monster Energy AMA Supercross Championship in America running on the same grounds, integrated into the same weekend as, say, the NASCAR Cup Championship in America. That would be a big deal, right? So that date's not going to move. They're definitely going to hold the dirt bike race wherever and whenever that car race is going to take place. So that was pretty much known before they even announced it that that was going to be happening this year, because it's just what they do. So for WSX to have a race in the same weekend, it's a little suspicious. And there's a reason to think that the two series might actually want to go head-to-head, and that is because there is some history there. I will try to sum up the history of WSX as we've known it over the last couple years. There have been previous iterations of the FIM World Supercross through the years, but the kind of the modern one, the current one, it actually started, the FIM, as you know, probably was co-sanctioning the American Supercross Series. It was AMA and FIM together. They weren't going to work together anymore. The FIM pretty much said, well, if we're not going to be part of the American Series, we're not going to give up on Supercross. We will search for a partner to continue to have an FIM Supercross Championship. And one of the bids that came to the forefront was a company called AME. That's an Australian company. You probably know them from running the AusX Open. That's probably the second biggest behind Paris, one-off, off-season type Supercross race. Very successful. I got to go there in 2019, met Adam Bailey, Ryan Sanderson, and the whole crew there from AME. Top-notch, great event. The FIM opportunity came along. That's a once-in-a-lifetime chance to run a global Supercross series. Hard to pass that up. They went for it. So the folks that run the AusX Open then became the folks that run FIM World Supercross when it came back there about 5 years ago. Here's where it gets interesting. Along the way, and this is probably a smart move on paper, on the surface, they also brought in a gentleman named Tony Cochran. That Australia Supercars series that I just mentioned, that is Australia's biggest motorsport series, that had rocket fuel attached to it at one point. It went from big to super-duper big, as evidenced by, I think the series was worth so much money, and then they sold it to new owners for like a phenomenal increase. They really increased the value of the series. It got bigger and better, and this guy Tony Cochran was a big, big part of that. So to really make a splash and try to make this World Supercross thing work, they brought Tony Cochran on board for that, and he certainly has a great cachet if you're an investor, and maybe people thinking he worked magic with the Supercar series, maybe he'll work magic with the Supercross series. But what I heard, that idea on paper kind of worked against him in the real world, because Tony Cochran, as he has a right to do, knows what he's doing, knows he had been successful in the past. And what I could tell, he came to America and pitched a lot of the American teams and riders and sponsors on maybe being involved with World Supercross. But the problem is the pitch, from what I've heard, wasn't a little too aggressive. It was a lot too aggressive. People don't want to be told that the way they're doing it, the series that they have chosen to race in for 40 or 50 years, and the business model they have attached to this is totally wrong, and there's a different new way that's way better than anything they're doing. You know, if you tell, if an outside person comes in and says, hey, I want to have a meeting, I'm going to tell you that everything you've ever done is wrong, it's usually not received all that well. And that's kind of what happened. I believe Tony Cochran kind of set World Supercross on the wrong course of like an adversarial, we're going to be better than everything you've done. And this is not, I don't believe, talking to the folks at Feld or MX Sports. It's more talking to the teams and the riders and the sponsors of you need to get on board with this because we're going to be so much better. And I think that just made everybody say, oh, really? Well, let's see how good you are. And I think right there it became very difficult for that first edition of WSX to really get traction. Now, Adam Bailey was part of that as well. Adam Bailey from that OSX Open. But he wasn't the one going around saying these things. But either way, they were going to have to deal with the brunt of it. Now, eventually, Tony Cochran was no longer involved. And I believe Bailey, who's a super nice guy and really does understand that importance of building trust and relationships and not being aggressive and adversarial, he eventually moved into the CEO role and I think tried to rescue it and tried to fix that. But the damage had already been done and the series was kind of sputtering. And eventually he was out. And the original investors, owners, sold to a new group. So now you have an all-new ownership management model for WSX. They just barely pulled it together with what they had over the last year or two. This year is kind of the full rollout of WSX with the new ownership. And it's probably not fair to compare it to every other Supercross we've seen that has decades and decades of experience. That's not a fair comparison. But in comparison to what we had seen in previous editions of WSX, I think it's fair to say it's going better. It's going well. Even, I think, is fair to say. I don't think it is fair to compare it to Anaheim. I know people want to do that. I know people want to always think that there's always a transactional good guy, bad guy, winner, loser in all scenarios. The WSX series and their current CEO, Tom Burwell, have gone out of their way to say we are not pitching this as it's our area of the highway. We're going to be number one. We have to knock someone else down for our own success. It's a great interview that he did with Lewis Phillips of Vital MX before the Vancouver event. And Tom Burwell said, he's like, have I ever said anything disparaging of any other championship series? He has not. They are really going out of their way, I think. They understand the misstep of the previous group saying, we're going to be the best. This group is not saying that. I believe they believe that there's space internationally on the calendar to be successful. It doesn't have to be one wins, one loses. I think they think that there's room for them to even be just merely good, not necessarily the best or the greatest, just good. And we'll see. It's been decent this year. So that's good, except it leaves one thing. In some of the wreckage here, it appears that you still have a bit of a personal front between the Australians who ran the series previously and the group that's running the series now. And that's probably why you end up seeing the WSX, the one time they're going to go to Australia, happens to be the last weekend of the Australian Supercross Championship and a very important race. You can read the story on Moto Online. And again, Adam Bailey sees it as an affront to him. So where the WSX is going out of their way to say, you know, we respect Monster Energy AMA Supercross, we respect SMX, we respect MXGP, Motocross of Nations, all those things. We're not out to harm them in any way. I don't know if the Australian series is on that good guy list to them. Now, in America, this might not matter that much, but if you're on the Australian side, everybody is going to have their attention split, the media coverage split, teams have to split. So the last couple of years, a lot of teams have come up with a successful model of having a team that competes for both the Australian Supercross Championship and the World Supercross Championship. Shane McElrath last year won both in the 250 class because they didn't have any conflicting dates. But that one conflicting date this year means no one rider could possibly win both titles because he's going to have to pick this weekend which series. You're going to race the Australian finale or you're going to race round three of WSX. So that puts team owners like Yariv Konski, that's the Quadlock team that he's the owner of the Quadlock team that McElrath rides for, that puts him in a pickle. He's got to split the squad. He's got to make essentially two teams, which he's done. You got Dean Wilson racing in Australia. You've got Joey Savacci and Christian Craig racing WSX. This weekend, I guess he's going to have to send two teams on the road 1,000 miles apart. That's just difficult on him. The factory Yamaha team in Australia, that's Craig Dack Racing, CDR, they had been racing both series. Dak said, this year we're just going to do Australia. Just couldn't build two separate teams all because of that one date. So you can see how there creates some friction with the Australian teams, with the Australian media, even the Australian fans who maybe want to watch both. Or I know the races are 1,000 miles apart, but look, you can go to a Supercross in America and you find fans that get on planes that go to races. People don't just go to races that are an hour from their house. So fans are going to pick one or the other. And let's be honest, this WSX race this weekend is packing a wallop in terms of star power. They got Deegan on a 450 against Tomac, Roczen, Webb, and more. And the plot thickens a little bit there, because Deegan almost raced OSX Open last year and this year. You might have heard the story last year. There are all these rumors out there that Deegan was banned from the OSX Open by the Lawrences. It's a little more complicated than that. Adam Bailey, again, the guy who runs the OSX Open, has explained that about 2 weeks before last year's OSX Open, Deegan's agent reached out and said, hey, Hayden's having fun riding. He's recovered from his wrist surgery quicker than expected. He might want to come down to Australia. But none of these top American racers are going to these races and doing it for free. There's a standard set price. It's usually not a set price, but there's a market, and they know what that is. I'm going to say it's generally in the $100,000 to $200,000 pay to go to one of these races. So, and Bailey said, it would have been tough to even find $100,000 to $200,000 in 2 weeks to give it to Deegan anyway, but it got super controversial last year because the Lawrence's ex-agent, Lucas Myrtle, the Lawrence's had a thing in their contract with the event where they had the right to say, you know, we would like to weigh in or look at who's going to race this event. Now, Bailey explained it where they wanted to know who was racing and potentially say, nah, we don't want that guy here for safety purposes. Now, that sounds weird. He won't say who they were worried about for safety purposes, but I can come up with some potential examples. Like, for example, I think the Lawrences might have been worried, and again, this is not them saying this. This is just the theory that makes sense to me. Jason Anderson, not getting along with the Lawrences well a year ago at this time. Jason Anderson had raced OSX Open multiple times. There have been multiple incidents of Anderson, Jett, and Hunter hitting each other on the racetrack. I think the Lawrences just wanted assurance, like, could we just, we don't want to get into a takeout block pass battle at what is essentially a one-off exhibition race. I think they were protecting themselves from that. I'll take another guess. Vince Freeze shows up at a lot of these races, and it's almost universal in the 450 pits that if he's out on the track, there's a chance something could go down. So I think that they had the clause in there for that, but the agent decided to use it to say, maybe we don't want Deegan there. I don't think Deegan would have raced it last year anyway. The point is, it at least opened the line of communication between Deegan's camp and the OSX Open to be like, okay, didn't work out in 24, but maybe 25. And the Lawrences, by the way, did not veto it. Deegan was going to race OSX Open this year. I actually saw some promotional materials with the Lawrence's face and Deegan on it. They had already gone down that road. But then WSX swooped in. I would presume they offered Deegan even more money. Good for Deegs. It's an open market. And instead, he made his 450 debut in Argentina a few weeks ago and is instead going to race in Australia for WSX and not OSX Open this weekend. So they're bringing some serious heat. Now let's bench race a little bit about Deegan on a 450. This is certainly exciting. I still wonder, man, if Deegan's been riding a 450 since preparing for that Argentina one, then a couple more weeks, and then racing one this weekend, is he really, really going to hop back on a 250, like, let's say mid-next week, and want to keep doing it? Isn't there a chance that Deegs is going to say, I'm 450 for life, bros? Real quick, let's shout out our sponsors again. So you got Yoshimura, yoshimura-rd.com. No matter what type of 450 you're on, or 250, they've got an exhaust system for you. Check out the RS12 system. Always refining, always improving. And then also while you're on the website, you can see all the other bikes they have cool exhaust systems for. Street bikes, tweener bikes, off-road bikes, small bikes, you name it. Also, Insta360. So we mentioned the huge field of view. The Insta360 camera is made for dirt bikers because it has an interchangeable lens quickly. So if you scratch the lens, if you break the lens, you can quickly change it yourself, swap out the lens in seconds after a crash. And then it has flow state stabilization, keeps your footage smooth, whether you're hitting whoops, launching off jumps, just riding rough terrain in general. Plus, if you want to be a vlogger with the Insta360 camera, it's got an invisible selfie stick, and also if you're walking around, the stabilization makes your shot a lot cleaner also. Ask me how I know I do these things. So go to store.insta360.com, type in RacerX, all capital words, all capital letters, all one word. And again, the first 30 people that go there and do that will get a free $50 mic air from them. And just shop the site. They get a lot of other cool cameras that we'll talk about in future episodes. So let's finish this up talking about the Deegs 450 situation. So he did race one in Argentina. We didn't totally get to see what he had because of the gate pick. I guess he just wasn't ready to go down to the line, didn't realize maybe the way the format of the rules worked there. I heard it was Hayden. It wasn't his mechanic, Duff's fault. Duff was ready. The bike was ready. Hayden showed up late to the line. He then was given the last gate pick. So he didn't have a chance to run up front with say, Roczen there. But if you watch that race in Argentina very closely, here's what's interesting. In the first moto, at one point, he got passed by Justin Cooper. And then they got to the whoops, and Deegan went by Justin Cooper, and then they started battling others, and then Deegan got by them more quickly than Cooper and got away. Justin Cooper's a good, experienced 450 rider. Now, you have to be careful ever reading too much into what happens in an off-season race. I talked to Justin Cooper before he went to Argentina. He had been off the bike for a couple of weeks. Maybe Deegan was grinding more than him. I don't know. Everyone's in different stages of prep. I'm not going to declare right now because of that one pass in the whoops that Hayden Deegan is already better on a 450 in Supercross than Justin Cooper. But Deegan scratching out like third overall there and not getting starts, I think people thought, well, that was something, but it wasn't amazing. But just seeing that little yardstick was something, and something impressive to me. So this weekend, it's going to be the same thing. There's some big hitters there. Tomac's definitely rolling. He looked great in Vancouver. So did Roczen. What is Cooper Webb's state of preparation? He was pretty good in Paris. But again, you never want to read too much into any of this. But it's just going to be interesting to see where Deegan falls. And I think that might have an impact on where he ends up racing when the calendar flips to 2026. Will he actually get back on a 250 and like it enough to race some 250 Supercross as he planned in 2026. He's not asking me for advice. I still think he could benefit from one more just blowout season. Like, yes, he won a 250 Supercross title last year, but it wasn't dominant. It was just very, very good. Jet Lawrence had a year that was like a joke in 250 Supercross. RJ Hampshire tried, but for the most part, Jet was like trying to quad stuff and run unique lines on the track almost just to keep himself entertained in that final 250 year. But I think there's something to be said for just having that, all right, you came into the class, you were this good, then the next year you were this good, and then you were starting to really pull away, and then let's just have a year where you're like this over the competition. I think Deegan could benefit from that, but we'll see. He's going against some really heavy hitters this weekend over in Queensland, and meanwhile, Dean Wilson's trying to lock down the Australian Supercross Championship over on the other side. One more note, heartbreak for Lux Turner, the young American who's really taking his Supercross skills. He's just been improving like this in his, I think, 2 years as a pro. He was dominating the Australian series, like winning every race in the 250 class. And then he crashed. He got caught up in one of the nets at Aus-X and broke his wrist. And now he's already said he obviously can't race this weekend with the injury. So Lux is not going to win the Australian 250 title. Would have been a nice feather in the cap for him. Now, I'm hoping that the injury doesn't push him back too far. He's already said might not be ready for the early rounds of Supercross. It's too bad. I think he's really raised his game. He's got the ride with the Bar-X Toyota of Redland squad now. Would have been interesting to see what Lux could have done. We'll get him back at some point, but his Australian jump is now delayed. So heartbreaker there. Deegs on a 450 versus Tomac, Roczen, Webb, and more. Very exciting. But respect to the Australian series, also just a little bit of drama friction there with those two races going on the same weekend. WSX is not done. They've got more rounds to go. This will be it for Australia. That's it for our show. Tell me if you like this format. Maybe we'll keep it going. Thanks to Yoshimura and Insta360.